Coming up on today's show.
In the few years between 1998 and 2001, we probably had five or six line of duty deaths. And with each one, we wrote a $20,000 check to the family. Well, then 9/11 happened.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode comes out. Social media for this show, Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. We just hit a milestone 1 week ago today on the 23rd with the 1,000th post on the Instagram account. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. As sports fans, it's natural for us to be armchair quarterbacks and question a coach's decision. Why are we going for it on fourth down? Why is he pulling the goalie with so much time left in the third period? Why is he putting in a pinch hitter? Why is he taking that player out of the game with only three fouls against him? That coach knows that he will get questions about those decisions, perhaps from players, possibly even management, but certainly from the media after the game. The fact is, he needs to be strong in feeling convicted to implement whatever decision he makes, knowing that he has the team's best interest at heart. People might armchair quarterback the decisions that we make in our daily lives, be it at the ball field, in the conference room, or at home in the den, but if we operate from a place of Christ-centered thought, we can take comfort in knowing that we are standing strong in our faith. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says the following in verse 24, quote, "We work together for your joy, for you stand firm in the faith." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has had his hands in a number of sports over the years. He captained the bowling team in high school, then played on the first ever JV basketball team at Fairfield University, and later coached basketball and soccer at the club and high school levels. He even ran the New York Marathon back in 1988. Plus, he was a sports writer for 8 years, and present day runs a sports management business that represents athletes across 5 different sports. On the faith side, he serves on the board and has a scholarship at St. Peter's Prep, and also is the vice chair of the FDNY Foundation Board of Directors. When he was executive vice president of the New York Stock Exchange, he established the NYSE Fallen Heroes Fund. He has even visited a basilica in Italy where he saw the remains of Saint Zita in the church's altar. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bob Zito.
Thanks, Bruce, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Bob. I've been looking forward to this. You are based in New York City, but is that also where you were born and raised, or no? And how many of you were there in the Zito household?
No, Bruce. I was born in Bayonne, New Jersey. There were 5 of us in the household, mom, dad, older sister, older brother, and I was the baby. And We are actually now, while I have worked almost my entire career in New York, we are now based in New Jersey, and try and get down to your part of the woods in Florida regularly.
You have the same makeup as my family. There were three of us, older brother and older sister for me. So we're off to a familiar start here. And the Zitos were very much a Catholic family. Yes, tell us all about the importance of the faith in the household when your parents were raising you and your brother and sister.
Yeah, my dad insisted that we go to Catholic grammar school, which was St. Vincent de Paul in Bayonne, New Jersey. He insisted that we go to Catholic high schools, my sister to St. Dominic Academy in Jersey City, my brother and I to St. Peter's Prep in Jersey City. My dad tried to make Mass every day, spearheaded a fundraising effort at our parish, St. Henry's in Bayonne. And I just remember them always being close to the church, and so much so that my oldest daughter used to love going to Mass with my parents and told me at one point she hoped to get married in St. Henry's, which unfortunately hasn't happened.
What a great example, though. That's fantastic. And I think I left out of the intro that you even did sports broadcasting at some point, if I have my facts straight. My gosh, you have just always been around sports. To what do you owe that? Who got you interested in sports? When and how?
It's interesting. I was always interested in the way sports writers captured the moment of events and how they told their stories. And when I was at St. Peter's Prep in my freshman year, I actually started a weekly sports newsletter to try and capture everything that was going on at the school. My first day of college at Fairfield University, another Jesuit institution, and actually was my first class. It was a Tuesday morning. Professor was Mike McDonald. He walked into the class and said, "Okay, class, write me a story about your summers. Leave it on my desk when you're done." And he turned and walked out of the room. And I had had a fairly colorful summer because I worked as a forklift driver at the Siva Geigy factory in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Wow.
And I wrote, I guess, a fairly colorful story. And he came in on Thursday and just walked into the classroom and said, "Who's Zito?" And I kind of sheepishly raised my hand, and he said, "Come see me in my office this afternoon." And I didn't know if I had gone too far in my story, or if that was good news. Well, he then asked me when I got to his office what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, "I've always thought I wanted to be a sports writer." And he said, "Good answer." And he wrote down a number on a piece of paper and a name. The name was Emmett Spillane. The number was 203-333-0161. I will never forget it. And he said, "Emmett's one of my best friends. He's the sports editor at the local paper, the Bridgeport Post and Telegram. He's always told me if I have a student who knows how to write and is interested in sports, to send them to him."
Wow.
So I'm sending you to him. Bruce, I started a part-time job that weekend at the Bridgeport Post and Telegram.
Wow.
Worked there for 4 years. Mm. They actually offered me a full-time job at the end of my freshman year, and my father would not allow me to do it. He said, "If they want you now, they'll want you then." And he was right. And so I wound up working there for 8 years.
Wow. Wow. And this is all because we heard that you had bowled in high school. You started to play basketball at Fairfield. So clearly the sports flame had been lit very early for you.
Yeah, I was a gym rat at Fairfield. And interestingly, my sophomore year was the first year that freshmen were allowed to play varsity basketball in the NCAA.
Mm.
And Dick Percadani, the JV coach, became a friend, saw me in the gym all the time. And during the Christmas break, three of our players flunked out of school.
Whoa.
So he called me and said, "Listen, I need a couple of bodies. You're in the gym all the time. Will you suit up for us?" And I wound up getting into two JV games, which was a riot because there is no way I had the ability of any of those other players.
How is it that you were a gym rat, though? Were you maybe a New Jersey Nets fan, I'm guessing?
The Jersey Nets didn't exist, I don't think, when I was at Fairfield, but they did exist when I was at the New York Stock Exchange. And we actually sponsored part of the season of the Nets at the NYSE, got into the playoffs. So I went to a number of the games, which was fun.
In the lead up to today, I got the impression that you would happily devote this entire conversation to talking about St. Peter's Prep. What about your time there back in the day made such a big impression on you? And what have they continued to do that has not only kept your high opinion of them, but moved you to serve on their board and have a scholarship there?
Yeah, so I have to tell you that prep is to me what every high school should be. Mm. The way the teachers embrace giving the students not just book knowledge, but life knowledge is absolutely amazing. The way the school encourages students to do things on their own, but to do it as a team, as a community at prep. And, you know, Bruce, I think the great testament to that is that I graduated from St. Peter's Prep in 1971. We still, our classmates get together 2 and 3 times a year.
Whoa.
We don't wait for reunions. There's a bond there.
Whoa.
And it doesn't matter if you were an athlete, if you were in the band, if you were a chess player, if you were an actor.
Mm.
It's just a phenomenal community run by an amazing group of people. And for the first time now, we do not have a Jesuit as the school president. And the gentleman who is the president of the school now, Mike Gomez, is phenomenal. And he is doing great things with the school. And I am just so thrilled to be part of it and to have that in my history.
Yeah, clearly there's a culture there. There's a brotherhood for all of you to continue to fellowship with one another multiple times a year says a lot about the environment that was there when you were there and they've been able to maintain.
Yeah, it's one of the few Catholic schools. I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of Catholic schools that are still on great sound footing and doing what they're supposed to be doing as secondary schools. However, we've seen so many schools be shuttered, especially here in New Jersey, Catholic schools, because the Archdiocese can no longer afford them because enrollment is down. And it's sad to see, but it's a fact of life, and it makes you appreciate schools like Prep even more.
So explain to the audience what Cento Amici is in conjunction with what we're talking about.
Sure. Cento Amici is an organization. It's been around for 37 years. My dad and I started it. It raises funds for need-based scholarships in New Jersey. Right now, we've got 14 schools. Unfortunately, one of them is closing this year, Montclair Immaculate. But we've got 13 after this year. It'll be 13 schools, and we'll probably add some more. And we provide the school scholarship money. Has to be need-based scholarships. The schools select the students. We don't get into, you know, that Jim at Seton Hall Prep should be getting a scholarship. What we do is we say St. Benedict's Academy, St. Peter's Prep, Seton Hall Prep. There's a long list of schools, St. Dominic's Academy, Oak Knoll. We raise money, give it to the schools, and the schools then confer it to students who are deserving of that money.
And audience, I hope you heard that Bob said, my father and I started it. And we heard earlier his father's role along the way. I got offered this job. No, they'll give it to you at the end of 4 years if they're offering it to you now. And I can't reinforce enough over and over on Catholic Sports Radio how important, how impressionable that is. Those chances that you have, whether you're a parent or a legal guardian, a grandparent, whatever the case is, and how much those relationships mean, where you see to the point where, Bob, do you remember whose idea it was to start that up? Was it your idea or your dad's?
Yeah, I remember it very clearly. My dad and I had been members of an organization, an Italian-American organization in New York City, which was primarily a dinner club, but also raised money for some scholarships, Italian-American scholarships in New York.
Mm.
The club closed for 3 years to be renovated. And one night, my dad and I were out for dinner, and we said, you know, while we miss going into the city to that wonderful club, the most important thing the organization did was raise money for scholarships. And my dad and I both lived in New Jersey, and some of the other members of that club, which was now going to be closed for 3 years, lived in New Jersey. And we said, why don't we do this in New Jersey and do it for students in New Jersey?
Mm.
And that's how it started.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And Bob, you might not see it, but 335 episodes into this show, I feel qualified to say that you are, in fact, a great example of mixing faith and sports. You seem to have a servant's heart in wanting to give back with St. Peter's or FDNY or coaching or even the athletes you're helping in your sports management business, being a philanthropist and even having coached basketball and soccer. Is this all by design? Are you being intentional, or have you just availed yourself to the Holy Spirit to be able to live out your Catholic faith while still staying connected to sports?
I'm just doing what I enjoy, Bruce. And that's, you know, I love helping young adults and children and seeing them progress. On the athlete side, I love it when one of our guys or girls is successful. It's an area, though, that does concern me a little, because I do see in that world a lot of people that take advantage of young families and young athletes. And it's really unfortunate to see. You mentioned my dad and my bond with him. One of the things I have seen in the sports business is the importance of family. Mm-hmm. When an athlete has a strong family background, that athlete has a great opportunity to succeed. When the family unit is not there, there are just too many people pulling at the individual and not always pulling in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad to see, and we just try and do what's right for anyone we represent, and that's it. End of story.
But audience, I've said before that the guest does not know what I'm going to say in the ministry moment. And isn't what you just heard Bob say a lot of what I spoke about in the ministry moment? And that quote, that verse from 2 Corinthians, standing strong in the faith, staying firm in the faith. So you can tell that Bob's decisions are rooted in that. And it's so great to hear, audience, isn't it, when there are efforts from the corporate side, as we're hearing from Bob. It's not unlike, did you know that credit unions, which were created to compete with banks by focusing on the individual, have deep roots in the Catholic community? Alliance Catholic Credit Union has continued that proud tradition, serving the Catholic community for almost 70 years. Alliance Catholic provides their members with the most up-to-date tools to manage their money while giving back to Catholic schools, parishes, and organizations. If being a part of a Catholic credit union instead of a big bank is interesting to you, visit AllianceCatholic.com and put your money where your faith is. Of course, do let them know you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Federally insured by NCUA. Audience, I want to go back to something that Bob just started to talk about. We hear quite often now about NIL, name, image, and likeness, for college athletes. Bob Zito is on the front line with athletes, helping them in that regard through his sports management company. And what you just started to hear him talk about in the lead up to today, he had said to me that his biggest gripe right now is agents who prey on young kids and their families with false promises and bad stories, end quote. Here again, you see virtue, you see his Catholic values coming into the workplace, his everyday life, mixing faith with sports. There's something I have not mentioned in a bit, though, before I have Bob talk more about that quote of his that I just read. I have not talked in a while about the Buy Me a Coffee platform, which I have a couple links to on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's not a sponsor. There's no brand or chain affiliated with this. They're not paying me to talk about them. It's actually a website that allows you to do exactly what its name says, buy me a coffee or three or five. I'm bringing this up because Richard Rossi, the guest from 5 weeks ago, episode 330, he went to that website and he did just that. He bought me a coffee. In fact, on that site, you will see that you are able to post a message for me, and I do respond, so you can see Richard Rossi's post on there. Every little bit helps. If you heard last week's interview, I mentioned that I had paid $100 to boost the recent episode where former NFL wide receiver Drew Haddad was the guest. Well, this week, I can add to that by saying that I also paid $125 to promote Catholic Sports Radio itself, the show in general, not one specific episode, on the Pocket Casts app, which is a popular player that people listen to podcasts through. It was an ad that ran for a week in the religion and spirituality category. So all these expenses add up when you're a one-person ministry and not getting any income for doing this, having to find some way out of my own pocket to try to cover all the costs that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. So thank you, Richard Rossi, for that virtual cup of coffee. If you enjoyed this show and are seeing value in the work that I put into keeping this show going every week, every month, more than 6 years now without missing once, and would like to do what he did, you can either go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW or on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net. About 3/4 of the way down the homepage, you'll see a section that talks about requesting me to be a guest speaker, and there's a button in there that says Buy Bruce a Coffee. That same button, by the way, is also near the bottom of the Meet the Host page in the About section of the website. For anyone that does that, whether it's one or more coffees, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you're hearing me do on this episode with my expression of gratitude to Richard Rossi. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Bob, as I started into that, I made mention of the NIL deals that have become so rampant in college athletics today. Go ahead and give us some insight on all that from where you sit and from what you do for athletes across numerous sports.
You know, Bruce, I was last year at the Portsmouth Invitational, I was talking to Dana Altman, the coach of Oregon, and he was recruiting a player that we represented, and he said to me, Bob, if 5 years ago someone in college basketball thought I was offering a player money, I would have been ostracized. Mm. Now it's how much can I offer him?
Wow.
And it's really amazing the change that has happened in college sports. And I think for the better, because what used to be brown bags under a table with cash going to someone to try and encourage them to go to a certain school, now it's out in the open and it's completely legal. And I think that is a plus. Now, I do think this past year, this current recruiting cycle might have been the apex, because now that schools can actually pay their athletes, thanks to the settlement that was just passed a few weeks ago, I think schools will have a better handle on what athletes should and shouldn't be paid rather than the collectives. It won't be now a coach saying to the person who runs the collective and collects the money, I need $5 million for this player, for this quarterback. I need $2 million for this center because he's going to be dominant in college basketball. I think the schools will put their arms around it and come up with some guidelines, which are important. But there still will be ways for collectives to add to what the school can play. The key now is that those collectives will have to show the value of the agreement, meaning you can't just say we're going to give player X $500,000 and he's got to do 20 social media posts. Now you've really got to show that the company that is putting up the money for the player has to show exactly what the player will do and the value of it. And I think that's a plus. And I think it's great for the athlete as well, because they're going to learn a lot about business as they do that. They're going to see what their time and what their appearances and what their posts are worth. It's going to show athletes that it's important to have a strong social media following and to the right demographic, meaning people that will buy the products of companies that want to sponsor that athlete. And so I think overall it's a very good thing.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, the one caveat though, Bruce, and I've talked with a number of people about this, is it's so important that those athletes have good financial guidance. And it goes back to the family structure that they come from. Because, you know, we have one player this year who, when we finalized the negotiation with the school, the first call I got from his dad was, Bob, can you recommend a real good financial advisor? Because I want my son to do the right thing with his money. That is so important, because some of these athletes will not have the opportunity to earn money like this in the future. The really interesting thing with NIL now is that every college basketball player is going to do a fifth year in all likelihood. in college because they will earn a lot more money than they would if they went into the G League or played in Europe.
Wow. This is all fascinating. And when you said the call that you got, I feared that you were going to say it was from a salesman at a car dealership saying, I've got an athlete in here that wants to spend X amount. But so audience, you know, the reason that I'm asking Bob about this is, let's not forget the sports part of Catholic Sports Radio. I love highlighting the faith, but it is fun every once in a while, and Bob is obviously an authority on this, so it's great to get some insight on this, which is a very, very prevalent topic nowadays. But flipping back to the faith side, though, Bob, in a little bit, I'm going to ask you to tell us about your family, but I do want to give you the opportunity to highlight the work that your wife has been doing through HealthLink Advocates.
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah. My wife, Doris, and two of her good friends, Lori Gardner and Lucille Plantamboli, all devout Catholics, have an organization where they help patients who typically are in serious medical difficulty. Lori and Lucille are about as high-rated a nurse and with experience as you can possibly be. And Lori and Lucille help their clients with their medical issues, meaning they go to their doctor's visits with them, they get on the phone with the doctors, they can explain in layman's terms to the patient and the patient's family what's going on and what the doctor is recommending. My wife, meanwhile, handles the insurance side. She is an absolute expert when it comes to navigating the very difficult health insurance industry. And she makes sure that insurance companies are paying for the procedures and the difficulties that their patients are having, number one. And number two is when there is a dispute with a hospital, with an insurance company, she'll get on the phone and find a way to reach a settlement for the patient. And it's just, I mean, I love watching what they do. That to me is more God's work than what a lot of people are doing.
That sounds like, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, it's probably local, though. The person that's listening right now in St. Louis or San Diego or Seattle cannot take advantage of HealthLink Advocates?
No, that's not true, Bruce. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest settlements that they've had for a patient was in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, with technology today, with Zooms, with picking up the phone and just calling a hospital, picking up a phone and calling the insurance company. You know, I can tell you that almost every day when I walk into the house, my wife is on with another insurance company, with another with another hospital, trying to negotiate on behalf of a patient.
Fantastic. And audience, it goes without saying the importance of trust. And it sounds like that's what Bob's wife and her two associates are building there. It's not unlike when he was talking about NIL. And again, you hear the ethics that are involved there and how someone that's operating from a Catholic foundation is clearly going to have that as a part of their standard operating procedure. Bob, since I mentioned it in the intro, do please tell us about the basilica you visited in Italy and what you saw inside there.
That was amazing. I love going to Italy and visiting old churches, so much so that my family teases me about it. But we discovered a city called Lucca in Italy and wandered into the Basilica of San Frediano. And I was kind of amazed by this particular basilica because I had read that Santa Zita was buried in the facility. So we went in and went up to the altar, and there in a glass tomb in the altar are the remains of Santa Zita, and she is, you know, her body is right there. And I had read that, you know, part of what the church does before they determine that someone is worthy of being of sainthood is to unearth the body to see if the body is decomposed, and her body had not decomposed. Absolutely amazing to see.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's powerful. And audience, coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, just last week on episode 334, Belinda Taro Mooney told some really fascinating stories about her pursuit of saints. She did pilgrimages to four different countries. And go back and listen to that if you didn't hear it. She kind of shows a common thread that ran throughout all four of those, and they all have to do with saints in a way that Bob is describing. Bob, I just want to continue to reinforce to the audience so many connections to sports for you. Do I have this right? You even worked with Bristol-Myers Squibb and had athletes at the heart of a campaign you did for them?
Yes. So when I got to Bristol, at the NYSE, we used athletes a lot in our marketing. And I did see when our list of companies came in for events at the NYSE, they would regularly bring athletes because I think they realized the power that athletes, celebrities have with media or in generating media interest. At Bristol-Myers, we did have a campaign with Lance Armstrong. Lance was a cancer survivor based on a regimen of three of our drugs at Bristol-Myers. When Lance kind of got a little too pricey in terms of what he wanted as an endorsement, we moved to some lesser athletes and entertainers, lesser in brand power possibly, but just as powerful in their stories. And the campaign was phenomenal for us, and it really resonated with the patients that were taking our medicines. And Bristol is a company, was a company then when I was there, and still is a company that focuses on significant serious diseases. And, you know, the patients that we used in those testimonials were phenomenal.
As we get ready to close, I would love if you would share with the audience a story that I read about, because we keep hearing about the New York Stock Exchange, but what you did there as it relates to, I had mentioned earlier, the NYSE Fallen Heroes Fund.
Yeah, so Bruce, I will tell you that in addition to a strong family background, I think it's so important for people to find themselves in the right professional background environment as well. I was very fortunate at the New York Stock Exchange to work for a guy by the name of Dick Grasso, who was the best and most successful chairman and CEO in the NYSE's history. Dick gave us the latitude to do what we felt would help make the New York Stock Exchange the preeminent marketplace in the world. One day in 1998, we had a tradition at the exchange that when a firefighter or police officer was killed in the line of duty in New York, we would pass a hat, and a member who lived near the funeral home where the wake was taking place would then take the cash to the widow to help her provide for clothes and expenses that she, and it was typically always a woman, that she would incur during that period before the benefits from the department, whether it was the PD or the FD, kicked in. Mm-hmm. As we were collecting for that firefighter who was killed in 1998, Dick turned to me and said, "Hey, you've modernized everything else here. Can't you modernize this?" So we started the NYSE Fallen Heroes Fund, where I went around to the floor and said, "You guys make a contribution to this fund. We will match it out of the NYSE Foundation, and we'll have a fund so that when this kind of thing happens, we can simply write a check and we don't have to pass a hat." So we did that. And in the few years between 1998 and 2001, we probably had five or six line of duty deaths. And with each one, we wrote a $20,000 check to the family.
Wow.
Well, then 9/11 happened. And we lost 23 NYPD officers, 37 Port Authority police officers, and 343 FDNY firefighters. And Bruce, I'm a little emotional when I talk about this, but that week when we came back to the exchange, we reopened on September 17th. We walked around, my staff and I walked around the floor and said to the guys on that trading floor, which was the most phenomenal place in the world to work at the time, "We've got a commitment to all these families." And they came up with $5.5 million, which I matched out of our foundation. Wow. And every one of those families got a check from us for $20,000, which helped in the immediate.
Outstanding. Yeah, and you said you get emotional when you say it, and I felt chills my entire body as you started into that. That's just fantastic. And I hear, boy, there's that word I don't like. I assume that the Fallen Heroes Fund still exists today?
Yes, it does. And so much of what we did at the New York Stock Exchange back in the late 90s and early 2000s is still in place. We brought television to the floor. And as you, if anyone watches television, they know that every day business reporting happens on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which I love to see.
We heard about the work that your wife is doing with HealthLink Advocates, but as we close now, do please tell us more about her, when and how the two of you met, got married, and then the family that the two of you have made.
Back to sports, Bruce. I was playing in a summer league basketball game and was taken out of the game late in the first quarter, looked across the court, and there she was sitting across the court from me, and I hit the guy next to me and said, check out the girl over there in the orange shirt. And he said, yep. And I said, I'm going to meet her after the game. And I went looking for her after the game, and she wasn't there. We went back to a friend's house. We were sitting on his porch drinking some beer, and she rode past on a bicycle. So I hopped in my car, took off after her. That was 53 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
And fortunately, we've had three great kids and five great grandkids, and we've just been very, very fortunate and blessed.
Just tremendous. Just tremendous. Bob, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I so enjoyed the conversation. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and pray it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.